I've always said I'm a glorified clown. Just here for entertainment. The only thing difference between me is I don't wear makeup. And I felt like Krusty because at the beginning of the show, there's people going, Ken, what did you think of the post-game outfit? Ken, tell us about the post-game outfit. Tell us about the dancing. And I'm like, he looks like the singer from New Radicals. That's the only thing I can say. What else do you want me to say?
Is this their only song?
Basically, yeah.
According to the... the feed here.
Okay.
They had several songs.
Sure.
We're just missing out.
Yeah, name the other one.
Couldn't.
Exactly. New Radicals were a, and maybe by their own doing, I know they broke up. New Radicals were a one-hit wonder, and it seems that Deshaun was a one-season wonder, so there we go.
Well, you always wonder when it comes to the post-game attire, whether or not the outcome of the game impacts what they're going to do. Because, you know, we knew when LeBron was... in the NBA Finals over the years, you know, there was a lot of discussion about what he was going to wear post-game, what he even wore pre-game. And I want to know if they won that game, was it win or lose, Deshaun Watson was going to wear that yesterday?
Yeah, of course. Yes. It's like when Miles wore the Halloween costume to the game and they lost, it's like, well, you got to wear it back home. That's what you wore to work today. So you got to stand up there in your Halloween costume and give the answer. Like, that's what you got to do. Daryl Ryder going to join us right now. Brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Daryl, wonderful to hear you, even though we don't have good things to talk about here. So I think this is who they are. What they are is a sub-500 team. So there you go.
Everything is fine, Ken.
Is it?
Yeah, not really.
I didn't think so. Come on, let me have it.
They hit the iceberg yesterday. Three offensive linemen banged up. You tried to bring one guy back on one wheel too early, and that was a disaster. Deshaun Watson is under siege, and you're trying to get him back to being the player he was. And again, we saw some of that escapability from him yesterday. The problem is we're having to see it on every snap. The line looked completely unprepared yesterday too, by the way. Like, they were utterly confused with what the Giants did from a pressure standpoint, to the point of you had guys, and I don't want to name names, but I'm sure you can figure out who I'm talking about, who after the snap looked to his left and was like, should I try and block that guy? Looked to his right, said, should I try and block that guy? And then opted to block neither. So you have that. Then you have Myles Garrett, who is, can barely walk at this point, limped in and out of the media room after the game. He is in tremendous pain with whatever is going on with his feet, which he won't say it specifically, and I get it, but it feels like this is something that he has had to deal with before in his life. He had surgery when he was a kid. He may have to have surgery again. So that's a problem. He was only able to play 40 snaps or so yesterday, which is what he played the week before. You know, the defense celebrates after every penalty because they think they just made a big play before realizing there's laundry on the field. So, I mean, other than that, things are great, Mrs. Lincoln.
All right, Daryl, what would you say is more important when it comes to the results of the MRI? Would you say the offensive linemen, three of them, or Myles Garrett?
I would say the offensive linemen just because of the numbers involved. But Myles is just as important. I mean, they're all important, Anthony, but you asked me to pick, so I got to pick. I mean, three-fifths of the offensive line are hurt, and one guy was supposed to come back this week, and he pulled his hamstring. So Andrew Berry's going to be busy trying out offensive linemen this week, I suspect.
Well,
yeah, that's my thoughts exactly, Ken.
Fantastic. Has any larger men out there in Northeast Ohio ever dreamed of playing for the Cleveland Browns?
What are you doing Sunday, Ken?
Not playing offensive line. I ain't getting rolled over. No siree. Those days are done.
Hey, you could do what I saw yesterday. You could get in a stance, stand up, look to your left, look to your right, and say, oh, the guy you're looking for is over there. Have at it.
Yeah, I guess I could stand there and not block anybody. That'd be okay.
And I hear it pays really well.
Apparently, yeah. I got to tell you, though, Daryl, well, Lyman has got something for you, but I'm trying, Daryl, I'm trying not to get too big picture on it. Because if it gets too big picture, it gets a little bit too philosophical, and it scares me. But it's very hard not to do. I mean, yesterday was just a microcosm
really
of
right now.
Yeah, well, yesterday, what I'm saying is yesterday was such a microcosm of everything. Like, everybody could get in on the blame. Like, it's like, yeah, they're beating up Deshaun Watson for his outfit after the game. I don't really care. If he played well, he could wear a Halloween costume up there. He could go dressed as Whammer. But let me tell you this.
Wasn't a Halloween costume yesterday?
Let me tell you
this. Actually, no, it wasn't. He was not dressed as the Joker, I promise.
Let me tell you the other thing, is that there was something to go around. And so I can't turn this into head coach or quarterback, head coach, even though that's where exactly everybody wants to take it.
Right. It's all of it.
Exactly, Daryl. Like, even at the end of the game, Cedric Tillman drops the pass. Well, who took Cedric Tillman in the third round?
Yeah.
And we've been waiting.
And who hyped him up all offseason, right?
Exactly.
Here's what I've learned in my experience covering teams. The best talkers are usually the worst players, and the guys that get hyped up in the offseason are usually the guys that don't come through in the regular season. It happens every year. It happens. And I understand what Deshaun's, and I thought what Deshaun said after the game was actually really, really good. Not getting down on guys, not beating them up for mistakes and that. But at some point, you just got to make the play, right? At some point, you can't go for it on third and one with Jameis Winston, not get it, and then go in shotgun, which blows my mind every time. It's one of my biggest pet peeves in football. If you're going for it, you got a yard to go. Hey, let's start the play where we have to get 6 yards or 7 yards because that makes sense. It drives me nuts. And look, I get the football philosophy behind it and whatnot. But it's still stupid to me. I don't care what the football philosophy is. I need 1 yard. I want to be as close to that 1 yard as humanly possible when that football gets snapped. It's that simple. And then it's an RPO. Okay. And as Deshaun explained it, where he was looking, there was a collision that kind of took that out. And so then he had to think on his feet and try and, you know, get to the line to gain. And he came up short. They couldn't challenge it. They didn't have any timeouts. So, like, and it's just, but it's little stuff like that, right? It's you get a second turnover. Ronnie Hickman with an interception. It's hard for the defense to get interceptions. They celebrate like they won the Super Bowl. You look back, oh, there's a flag on the field because Greg Newsome just got called for bumping into the quarterback. And anyone that knows anything about NFL football today knows you cannot sneeze within the same zip code of a quarterback without it getting a flag on the field, except if your name is Deshaun Watson. That's just the rule book now. You break up a pass after dropping a would-be interception. And again, you celebrate like you just scored a touchdown. I get it, but I don't get it, if that makes sense, Ken. And I realize it really doesn't make sense, but like it's all the little things. And now you are to a point where you're losing guys, right? I'm guessing they got a group discount on all the MRIs they got to have today. Jed Wills has to go back in for another MRI on his knee. We talked about Myles Garrett. Wyatt Teller has a knee injury, has to get an MRI. Fingers crossed that they're all going to be okay. James Hudson, shoulder injury. DeJuan Jones got banged up yesterday. They had to take him out and put James Hudson in to start the second half. But then they just got hit by a rash of injuries and had to reshuffle the whole offensive line and had to put DeJuan Jones back out there on a bad wheel again. Like, it's bad. I'm sorry. Like, I hate to be this bleak this early in the morning, but, like, what they're dealing with ain't great. And, you know, they have enough problems as it is with the quarterback processing things and, you know, seeing the field and all that. And it's complicated by the fact that the offensive line can't block anybody, and they're all playing on one wheel.
All right, Daryl, the Browns obviously were victimized by a number of blitzes coming from every direction, the corner blitzes, the linebackers. It seemed like it never ended, and the Browns never truly adjusted to
Lima,
that.
Lima, you could have gotten a sack yesterday.
Well, they had 8 or 9 guys that were credited with getting at least part of a sack yesterday. It was a crazy high number. So
yeah.
With all that said, I mean, we heard Deshaun Watson, and he said that those were all new looks that they hadn't seen on tape. Betonio, in a very nice way, kind of spoke to, well, we blocked what we thought we were supposed to block coming into the game. So they were certainly caught by surprise. Where were the adjustments?
The adjustments were they kept sending guys to the medical tent in the locker room, and they ended up with a makeshift offensive line to end the game. And I'm not being a smart aleck, like, that's what happened. I don't know. I don't know where the adjustments are. In the years that Bill Callahan was here, I never heard an offensive lineman say that they were caught by surprise with anything. They just weren't prepared. That's what this boils down to. They weren't prepared.
Yes.
Bottom line.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's
bad. We're not prepared for that game. You should never be caught by surprise. And if you are caught by surprise, there should be a solution to the problem immediately. You have tablets and all the other technology that's afforded to you. It's instantaneous. You don't have to stand by the printer and wait for paper to fall out of it, right? Or if it runs out of ink, it's got to hurry up and get reloaded, and you're still waiting to get the pictures back to sit. It's instantaneous on the tablets. Like, there's no excuse for being unprepared. Injuries? Yeah. You can't help that. Stuff happens, right? But to just be completely flummoxed and confused. And again, you're trying to get your quarterback back on track. You're trying to get his body clock right when he's in the pocket. You're trying to get him to see down the field as plays are developing. And he has no time to do that because every snap is a jailbreak. And again, a positive thing that I did see from Deshaun yesterday was he escaped some plays. We're seeing that escapability. That's the good news. The bad news is we shouldn't have to be seeing the escapability on every play.
Daryl, who was the Watson Ford fumble on that handoff?
I don't know, but they work on that 150 times a day. And you know what? And I feel stupid because, like, I watch that and I'm just like, yeah, this is pretty elementary, and we're just standing here watching this for 15 minutes as they're doing handoff drills, right? And yeah, I mean, it's elementary stuff. And I give Kevin Stefanski credit. He basically said, no excuse for it. We do that every day, 150 times a day. And, you know, Deshaun didn't even want to talk about it. So I don't know. The ball may have been a little high or a little low to go in the two-arm pocket there. You know, Ford may have been a step maybe too far. I don't know who's to blame. The bottom line is, basic elementary football got messed up, and it was costly to the Browns.
It is an outrageous deal there, Daryl. You know, as we move forward here, like, when you lose to the Giants, it's like, hey, let's say it's not like you lost to – it's not like we're a college football team and you lost to a G5 school. Like, I understand that it's the NFL and you got to get ready for everybody. I mean, but what you're telling me, these are really bad, systemic, scary situations here. We're not ready to make adjustments. We're not ready to make adjustments to the adjustments here. I mean, we have an intellectual football coach, a guy who doesn't get worked up. I mean, that sounds like something I would do. Like, I would plan for one thing, and then if there's something else that happens, I personally would fail to make those plans. You might personally fail to make those plans. Like, this is supposed to be a good football coach with a good staff, and so that scares me. That really scares me, is that we're looking around for answers that really aren't there. You understand what I'm saying here? Like, that
you're preaching to the choir here, Ken.
That is bad.
Yeah. And you made changes this offseason that, frankly, I didn't think you needed to make, but I understood why they were made, because it was all about number four, right?
Yeah.
And making things as comfortable and I don't want to say simplistic, because that's insulting, and I don't mean to be. But you know, you just, There was nothing wrong with Kevin Stefanski and Alex Van Pelt. Nothing. None. But some of the schemes and whatever didn't fit the quarterback you have. So, okay, let's bring in Ken Dorsey, because, you know, Cam Newton was an MVP and got to a Super Bowl with him. And
yeah, but it looks like they don't know what to do with him. They don't know what to do together.
Right. I mean, does that offense look like it's organized?
No.
That's the answer we're looking for. Congratulations, Ken. You're a winner, unlike the Browns. It looks terrible. Like, I was under the impression that this was all being done to elevate everything, right? It's not elevated. There is nothing impressive about what I've seen in 3 weeks from this offense. Nothing. And remember what I told you guys in training camp, and you know, people thought I was just being a hater and whatnot. And I'm like, guys, they don't do anything impressive in training camp offensively. Well, I'll give you exhibits A, B, and C. They're called the Cowboys, the Jaguars, and the Giants. I rest my case. Mm. It's not impressive. They don't do anything well.
So how do
they
I
don't
get...
run the ball well. They don't throw the ball well. They don't protect well.
Do we need to kind of go back to when he says back to basics? Is it just protectionist offense to try to protect him, especially with these offensive line problems that we have? Like, we're really going to have to go in the cocoon here with him.
Yeah. I mean, today is a very important day. Fingers crossed that each one of these MRIs comes back where the guys are okay. There's nothing torn. They're just sore, right? That is the absolute best case scenario. But as we know, unfortunately, a lot of times, best case scenario never applies to the Cleveland Browns. I don't know. I don't know that you can go. I understand what you're saying, Ken. I don't know that solves your problem either, right? Because now if you go into that, as you put it, the protectionist cocoon type of thing here, now you're once again taking what, you know, Deshaun does well, which is extend plays, create stuff out of nothing.
Okay, well, if he doesn't have time to do these things, then I...
No, I get you.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing with you.
I'm sorry.
No, I know. And I'm not arguing with you. It feels like there's no winning scenario here right now. And I realize that's prisoner of the moment. We're only 3 weeks into the season here, but there were red flags in training camp. And the red flags are showing up now, and it's compounded now with the fact that you have these injuries and you're not at full strength. And I realize, again, everyone in the league deals with not being in full strength. Last year, the Browns dealt with it very, very well. But they also didn't lose 3, 4, 5 offensive linemen either last year. So, you know, the games are won in the trenches. And right now, the trenches for the Browns are a mess.
They're bad.
They really are. And part of it, I think, is scheme. Because of the confusion that guys talked about yesterday, they just didn't know what hit them. And then the injuries are thrown on top of it. And again, your defensive player of the year can only play half the snaps because he's given you all he's got. But he's just in so much pain, and you feel bad about that.
Daryl, thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you on Friday. Everybody, listen to the podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland with Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin. That was just a taste of how Daryl's feeling. Daryl, thank you very much for the time.
You bet, guys.
And, of course, you can subscribe to that podcast now, 92.3thefan.com, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. I don't know, man. I don't trust that they're going to get it fixed. I don't know.
Well, whose fault did you think that was?
It's just so many things you got to do. I have no idea. I really wish I could tell you.
Well, so they had Ford.
I don't even pretend to act like I know in those situations.
They had Ford on the sidelines kind of shaking his head, and he was pointing to his upper chest. Now, I have no idea.
Is that what he's saying, where he's supposed to get it?
I have no idea what he's actually talking about, Kenny, but you imagine they showed that for a reason. They thought that he was complaining about the ball placement.
I don't know of any coach that's ever taught to put the ball up in your chest, though, like at the top part of your chest.
I don't.
You have shoulder pads
Owen,
there.
I don't. I wish I could tell you. I never had the ball.
Tell me something.
I don't even hand the ball off in practice.
That's why I don't know. Pete Dane.
That's why I was going to ask.
Oh, Pete Dane got it right there in the breadbasket. Pete Dane was ready for it. Pete Dane did fumble once running, but you know that's what happened.
Are we splitting hairs, or is that too high in that situation?
I don't know. Call Deuce Staley. See if he can answer it for us. I have no idea, man. I don't know. I can't pretend to know. If anybody knows, if there's any high school coaches out there still at 8:29 in the morning, give us a call. I swear to God, just give us a call. I don't know. So I can't blame Watson, and I can't blame Ford. I don't know. I can blame them both and just say the whole thing sucks and that it murdered the momentum in the road. It just murdered it in front of everybody. Were you thinking that we were going to win?
I thought we were going to crush
them.
They
went for two. No. At that moment, did you think we were going to come back and win?
Yeah.
Because I
thought we were going to steal the game.
They go for two.
I thought they were going to steal the game.
They go for two, which, by the way, somebody, Scam Cameron, who I love that, sent us the explanation from Seth Walter last year, almost to the day last year, of the explanation going for two down 8 points. And the reasoning behind it, which is actually pretty sound. It actually is pretty sound reasoning. I think it's scary for traditionalists, but this is very sound reasoning. It's kind of like, yeah, I can get behind this, especially since it worked for the Browns. Except we fumbled the ball because it was 21-15. I'm going, we're going to win this game. I can't believe we're going to win this game. We got all the momentum. We got Daniel Jones rattled now. Defense is making plays. And we fumble the ball right there. And the defense has to go back out. And then they give us another chance. They gave us another chance. We didn't know what we were doing. Like, I stopped when he fumbled that ball. I want to show you something. I thought the game was over. I got so down. He fumbled that ball, and Tone, I stopped the notes. I stopped taking notes there. And then I picked him back up. And that was it. And then we ended up getting stopped on fourth down.
Just one more note here. This is Watson on that exchange.
What happened on that missed exchange between you and Jerome Florida on that handoff?
It was a draw.
Okay.
Yeah. That was it. It was just a draw.
So wait, Deshaun, I'm sorry to go back to this play, but then on the draw play, why did the exchange not go well?
I just did my due diligence, try to hand the ball to him, and after that, I just saw the ball was on the ground. So,
well, is that a forward problem there? Because it sounds like he's trying not to throw a guy under the bus.
Sounds like he didn't want to say what he was thinking.
I think so.
So Jeff Shedell was asking the question in the follow-up there. So I imagine that'll get asked again probably today to Coach Stefanski now that they've had a chance to look at it. So we'll get a determination on that.
My God.
I mean, they're all frustrated. Right. I understand, man. We're all frustrated.
Yep. It got so bad yesterday, and again, with the injuries, I don't know where to begin. When you don't know where to go, you go back to the beginning. I don't know where to begin because the guys who might be playing on my offensive line are not wearing Browns jerseys right now. I don't know where to begin. So now I got to get an offensive line to protect my quarterback who ain't playing all together that great in the first place. I got to get an offensive line and do that. I'm telling you, man, the old style is not coming back. You have to protect this guy. He can deliver and play to a decent level. He's not going to beat any one of these other guys. And you can sit there and chew me out and say, well, that's not worth $230 million. It ain't worth $230 million. But that's where we're at, guys. We got to make the best of the situation. We've all made bad investments before. Every single one of us has bought a lemon or a money pit or something like that. And it ain't worked out the way we wanted to. And we had to make the best out of a bad situation. 9 out of 10 guys I'm talking to have done that. We got to make the best out of a bad situation. And I'm telling you, bringing the offense in, getting the ball out quickly, double tights, heavy offense, heavy sets, that's what's going to help us win some games. We ain't going to the playoffs. That ain't happening. Those days, to me say that, is done. Hopefully I can open that back up again, but we are way away from that one, and it's probably gone. So I got to make the best of this because I think he can play average or above average if he has some help. We got to help him. I can't just keep emptying out the backfield and thinking we're going to run oop-de-oop offense all day long, and it's going to work against the NFL. With these linemen? With these guys? With Joel Bitonio, who's definitely playing through an injury, and DeJuan Jones, who had to come back out, and he's playing through an injury. Who's not injured on the offensive line? And it's a long season, so you're bound to have more of them. And I'm supposed to go, hey, let's go single back formation, let's spread it out, let's do gun, and have these long plays on RPO that take forever to develop. They take forever. Let's keep running that offense. You keep running that offense, and we'll keep having these tirades on Monday morning. I guarantee it. Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania. Hello.
Guys, we were so bad on all facets of the game, special teams, offense, defense. I mean, it was comical to a certain point at the level that we should be playing, the level that we played in years past. The only way that we could surmise to something, and I hate to put the tinfoil hat on, are we sucking for a new quarterback next year? I don't know, but this was so bad. Where do you start? Where do you start?
Well, you're going to have to tear things. I don't think they're going to be that bad. And then you're going to have to probably begin a tear down. And I don't know what they're going to do with the like, everybody's up for grabs if this all goes down, Mike. Like, the head coach's job is up for grabs. The general manager may be up for grabs. I mean, we're only in September here. Who knows how bad things could get? So do I want to go and do a Bryce Young situation and maybe take a young quarterback and put him in a bad situation?
Is Deshaun missing the reads where blitzes are coming that he didn't kind of check down, do something different, run into the blitz, throw a dump-off pass?
But does he?
How are we missing these changes?
But I have to ask, does he know what type of offense they want to run from week to week? Does he even know? Like, you're setting them up. They're setting them up in a bad situation. We can't make adjustments. They're professional football coaches. How many games has the guy coached in his life, in his NFL career, as a head coach? He's 38-31 going into the game yesterday. Now he's 38-32.
That'd be 70.
Okay. I think you've had a lot of chances to make adjustments and have in-game information there. We didn't make any adjustments.
It's year five. Yeah.
Okay. 5 years in, hell. So that's where we're at, Mike. Sorry. Thank you very much for listening on the free Odyssey app, and thank you very much for the call, but that's where it is, brother. So if you could sit there and try to tell me what offense you want to run, there's a lot of things we want to do. And then there's reality. There's a lot of things I'd love to do. Can't do them. There's reality that plays into it. And they have to figure that out. Because if they don't, we are going to sit there and have these rants. And eventually, we won't get loud. We'll just accept it. And this thing will just slog into a grave. And then we'll have to talk about all the other things that go into it. You get this quarter. I mean, seriously. I can't sit there and just blame everything on Deshaun Watson and say, well, we don't like Deshaun Watson. We traded for him, so it's all his fault. Nope, got to make the best of a bad situation, buddy. Got to bring out the very best in him. So that means if he's seeing ghosts, which he was again yesterday, you better find a way to protect him, because your offensive linemen aren't even guys that he's going to even recognize. You got three guys getting MRIs today.
Yeah, and I mean, look, yesterday was the day where it's...
Spread them out even further.
It's understandable he would see ghosts, because they at no point were equipped to deal with the blitzes. And they at no point had a handle for that. They did not have, you know, a way to change it up, to react, to adjust. And that absolutely destroyed them yesterday in the game. You had no business losing. Zach Jackson had it right yesterday. That was supposed to be a homecoming game. There's a reason they were doing the Browns legends and Phil Dawson. That was supposed to be a blowout. And I thought 5 minutes into that game, before that flag came out, I thought it was going to be a blowout. And instead, they're 1-2, and it looks horrible right now.
This is What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
All right, we do it every week at this time. We go around the room. So much going on, we can't get to it all throughout the early stages of the show, but we will start out with
Lima's wild thing.
Well, the Atlanta Falcons lost. They're now 1-2. They played the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. It was a tight game. Kirk Cousins did all he could, but they fell short. But that wasn't the story. The story was the halftime celebration. And just like Cleveland Browns, just like so many other teams, they have a ring of honor in Atlanta. So it stands to reason that some of the all-time iconic members of the organization, players, coaches, they get inducted. Matt Ryan, for the first time in 15 years, was inducted in the ring of honor. He was one of two members. The other member, the owner, Arthur Blank, who selected himself. For the Ring of Honor.
Wait a minute. No.
For the Atlanta Falcons.
Guys, even Vince McMahon wouldn't go into the Hall of Fame for the WWE.
Well, he's been given an idea.
Like, well, he can't now, unless they pick him. I can't believe that. He picked himself?
Yeah. So, my question is at this point.
He loves me some me.
I cannot believe this. I had no idea. Let every owner in the world know if you do this, you are going to get laughed at the next day.
I wondered.
Is Jimmy Haslam
getting any ideas?
No, please don't do that.
I mean, we've been to the playoffs twice under his watch.
That's the most from an ownership group since they've come back.
Kenny, most amount of money spent in the NFL, any ownership group. If they get the dome bill, he's going in
now,
the Ring of Honor.
If that happens, are we all getting free hot dogs and chips? Because they did that.
Which is what they got yesterday.
This is like
free hot dogs and chips.
They did not get Chick-fil-A.
Well, it's not open.
Even though it's Chick-fil-A Stadium.
This is the equivalent of Mike. I thought it was some else.
Is it Chick-fil-A?
No, I think it's Mercedes-Benz.
It's Mercedes-Benz, but Chick-fil-A's in the stadium.
Oh, it's okay. In the stadium. That's it.
That's where they play the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Like when Michael Scott wanted the roast of himself and he staged it himself. Like, this is what this reminds me of.
Mitch?
Mitch's wild thing.
The Green Bay Packers, specifically their quarterback Malik Willis, who less than a month ago was traded by the Tennessee Titans for a 7th-round pick. He went back into Nashville yesterday and promptly kicked their ass 30-14. Combining for 275 yards of offense and a pair of touchdowns. Meanwhile, the guy that replaced Willis in Will Levis threw another pick six, a pair of interceptions.
Boy, it sucks to be him.
Well, how about Packers 2-1?
Yep.
They thought once Jordan Love went down, it was going to be a death sentence for their season. And there's been some really good scheming going on there.
So Matt LaFleur has been long. I'm glad Mitch brought this up. Matt LaFleur has been long criticized as... I think there's a lot of guys who are ugly guys, who are football guys, and they are jealous of Matt LaFleur's good looks. He's a good-looking man, let's be honest. I mean, he's a good-looking man. And I think that they're like, oh, well, he's only had Aaron Rodgers. Let's see what you have when you're really... And then even like last year, it's like, well, they were only 9-8. It wasn't like they were 13-4. They were only... He can coach, man. He can coach up them quarterbacks.
I mean, if we had more time, I would smell a power ranking of best-looking coaches by Ken Carmen in the NFL.
He looks like you watch Malik Willis. Did you watch any of that yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had 73 yards rushing.
He doesn't look scared. He's just taking off. Like, if he needs to take off, he just takes off, but he knows what he wants to do with the football every time. Like, they've coached him up well,
yeah.
Considering they haven't had him for very long.
And you can get away with that for a few games here or there. They're buying time, right?
Yeah, because they're going to get Jordan Love back eventually. He was on the practice field last week, so go ahead.
Owen?
Owen's wild thing.
Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings are 3-0. After coming into Cleveland on the two-day practice or whatever they called it, and we embarrassed their offense, right? They embarrassed our offense. We embarrassed their offense. Sam Darnold, 3-0. He's resurrected his career. Many people deciding who gets credit for it. Does Kyle Shanahan get credit for it because Darnold went there and learned how to play quarterback from him, apparently, over the last season? And also... If J.J. McCarthy doesn't get hurt, do we ever hear from Sam Darnold again? He's
3-0
right now.
That's a great question, because that's right. McCarthy was the guy that was turning heads in the preseason. Somebody said this, and you know what? I just fact-checked it. It's right. Sam Darnold is actually younger than Joe Burrow.
And these are two prime examples here, man. This is two prime. He's younger than Joe Burrow. Amazing.
They're both 27. He's 6 months younger.
This is two prime examples, and I know we want to look around the league, but... I have to bring it back to the Browns on this. Malik Willis, coached by a guy who knows what he's doing with quarterbacks, getting rid of the ball, buying as much time as they can. You see what's going on with Sam Darnold. I don't really think it's sustainable. I think eventually somebody's going to get to him, but they're doing everything they possibly can. They're putting him in the very best position for him to make the most of it. I'm sorry, guys. 2 out of 3 games, you have not put your quarterback in a position to do anything. Because you want to do this philosophy, you've made him look worse. And I cannot stand this because that's where I have to blame everybody involved, not just the quarterback. Because, again, you're telling me he's the only coach who ever coached football ever in the game that didn't need a good quarterback, that needed a bad quarterback to run an offense. It doesn't compute. It doesn't. My wild thing around the league.
Ken's wild thing.
Antonio Pierce and what he said in the post game after the Panthers went to Las Vegas and beat down the Raiders. He's talking about business decisions.
No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
Oh, that is the absolute worst thing in week 3 that your coach can say about you as an NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
I think coming from Antonio Pierce, too, it's a little different. It'd be a little different. He's a professional ass kicker. He's in the Vrabel category. Yeah. He's in the D'Amico Ryans category of guys that could just, I think they'd still take you to the mat right now if they were doing it.
So here's what's going to happen.
Yes.
I can't say that they're going to play well against the Browns or whatever. I will say this. They're going to be physical next week. They are going to finish plays. They are going to get down and dirty. And the Browns better be aware of that.
Well, I bet they blitz 51% of the time.
might be blitzing 100%
yeah,
of the time.
It ain't just going to be Max Crosby. How many did you say? You said nine guys were a part of sacks yesterday?
Yeah, it was eight or nine.
Oh, yeah. My God. That's a big number.
Yeah.
You better have it buckled up next week, man. We're looking 1-3, dead in the hairy eyeball. Gardner Minshew, Mr. September, even though it wasn't that great yesterday.
That was What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
Just one last note yesterday, Kenny. Carson Steele, the running back, was in the MAC,
that's
right?
Good name, yeah.
Was it UCLA?
He was at Ball State,
and then
he went to UCLA, yeah.
He got the start yesterday for the Kansas City Chiefs, as Owen well knows, but he was actually invited to a wedding. That wedding happened to be his sister's. That wedding was on a Sunday. He missed his sister's Sunday fall football wedding.
Yeah.
What are we doing there? Did they have no faith whatsoever that he would be in the NFL this year?
No.
They tried to on the broadcast last night say, well, that was the only day the venue was open. But it was very – Collinsworth goes, it's very obvious they thought he was not going to be in the NFL at this point.
He's a groomsman, right?
Yes.
They say he was supposed to be a groomsman.
He was a groomsman, yes.
So he went back and had to get on the FaceTime with him at the end of the game.
I'm glad they're close.
Yes.
Glad they're close.
Football weddings, man. Football
weddings.
He's
got an alligator, so.
Man, I don't even like it. I'd never play. I would never play football. I would never have a wedding on a Sunday. I guess they say that's
cheaper.
The only time, right?
It's cheaper.
It's cheaper on a Friday. We had our wedding on a Friday. All right. Coming up at 9:40, Mitch, please. Coming up next. Guys, I'm sorry. I think this is who they are, and I hope that you can convince me otherwise, because I think we're in for quite a rough year if they're not going to go out and make these necessary changes. What they are, I'll tell you next on The Fan.